Greetings and welcome to Love Dog Shorts. This is a series of short interviews, say 4 to maybe 10 minutes in length, topic-driven, questions we pose to experts, and the answers are intended to be precise and to help you out on very specific issues you might be having with your dog. Hope you enjoy them.
Hey, Drew here. Before we get started, I want to tell you about our sponsors for today's show, Wonder Walker. A walk with your dog should be, well, a walk in the park, not a tug of war. The harness you choose should be safe for both you and your dog. As you know, I train dogs professionally, and the truth is that sometimes even trainers need a little help. For me, that means I prefer it when the dogs I'm training wear the best equipment. When it comes to harnesses, I ask my clients to get the Wonder Walker body harness for their dog because it will help me, them, and the dog meet our training goals as quickly and as safely as possible. Wonder Walker has been my go-to harness for over 15 years. Visit wonderwalkerbodyhalter.com and use promo code LOVEDOG at checkout for 10% off discount. LOVEDOG is one word. That's wonderwalkerbodyhalter.com. Promo code LOVEDOG.
We're here today with Milena DeMartini, and we know Milena because we recently interviewed her for a deep dive, I think that's what we'll call it, deep dive into separation anxiety. And today what we're going to do is just let Milena talk just for a few minutes about separation anxiety, specifically the prevention of it and some of the myths behind prevention. And hopefully this will help you. So Milena, welcome and share what you can about prevention as it relates to separation anxiety.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, and I love doing these shorts. I will say, with separation anxiety in particular, one of the things that's so important is that we know a lot about what does not cause it, but very little about what does. And guess what? You can't prevent something that you don't know the cause of. And the reason I mention that in particular is that I don't want people to feel that doing these 5 things or taking these 7 steps is going to ensure that their dog does not develop separation anxiety at some point in time, whether that be a puppy, an adolescent, or an adult. There are things that we can do. And the reason that I'm not a big fan of the word prevention, not just with separation anxiety, but with many other behavior issues as well, is that if you did do those 5 tips or whatever it was that was suggested for you as a prevention strategy, there is a good possibility that you might still, not a good, but there's a possibility anyway, that you might still end up with a behavior problem. And when that happens, it's so common that people say, the outward folks say, the naysayers say, well, you must not have done it right. You didn't follow the steps exactly. You skipped a few or something. But then there's also the internal self-blame and guilt that happens. So we've got guardian blaming coming from the outside and internal guilt and blaming happening on the inside. When, quite frankly, if we can't prevent something that we don't know the cause of, we shouldn't have been setting people up for thinking that we could indeed eliminate any possibility that the behavior issue would exist. So I think that's my most important component of the discussion of prevention. Now, there are things that we can do to optimize our dogs for alone time success. Setting a dog up for success is super important. And that's true for any kind of behavior, right? If we want to work on our dog coming when called, we don't take them off the leash and in the middle of a 15-yard field and say, you know, hope that they don't run off and chase birds. I mean, we've got to set them up for success. It's no different with this behavior. So there are ways that we can start to introduce alone time in very, very small increments that allow the dog to feel safe and over time increase those increments without ever pushing the dog to a point that they are experiencing distress or anxiety. Basically, we're setting them up sort of for that metaphorical soft place to land. And I think that's important.
That's great. Thank you. Let me just say how that relates to two puppies that I had and see if that makes any sense. So first it went to from crate, and I would leave the dog for 20, 30, 40 minutes in the crate. Then after a few weeks of that, I thought like some trust and comfort had developed. He knew I was coming back. So then I let him out of the crate and kept him in the bedroom with the door shut. That went on for a few weeks. Everything was fine. And then within a few weeks' time, that dog had run of the house. So that was a phasing in that to me seemed logical. Does that make any sense?
It does, but I want to give a however as I
good.
To it.
Please
as
do,
well.
Because yes.
It does make sense for those dogs, the particular environment that you were in. There are many dogs, whether that be age dependent, whether that be other sorts of concerns about safety, there might be stuff that they could get into, et cetera. There are those dogs that, starting with that 20 minutes or even 5 minutes, might be a bit aggressive, actually.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that it's not going to go relatively quickly. Remember, we only get one first impression. And that first impression better be spot on. The dog goes, oh, I don't know, Mark left for a couple. Oh, there he is. He's back. Oh, I guess there's no big thing when Mark leaves. And then over time, yes, it becomes a little more and potentially more freedom, et cetera. So your example was an excellent one. It just might be accelerated for some dogs.
So tailor it to the individual dog.
100%.
You got to see how it goes.
Got to see how it goes.
That's all.
And we have cameras now, so we can see how it goes. We can watch the dog and determine whether it's going well or not and tailor it to that individual dog as needed.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
We hope you found that short helpful. And if you did, and if you're finding the podcast helpful in general and you're enjoying it and getting something good from it, can you help support us? There are a number of ways you can do that. You can tell a friend or tell someone you know, a family member perhaps, about the podcast if they've got a dog and think they might find it helpful. Word of mouth still remains the best way to support anything. You can follow us on our social channels, namely Instagram at @LoveDogNews. We're just getting our TikTok going, same handle, at @LoveDogNews. And you can follow us on your favorite podcast app. That would be great. Okay, happy howls to you.